Hello, everybody. Welcome to February the 9th. I'm Amanda Barker.
And I'm Marco Timpano.
And as always, we start our Born on This Day podcast with a special celebration. And today's special celebration is one near and dear to my stomach, National Bagel and Lox Day.
Yum.
So apparently this is the day that we celebrate the beautiful combination known as bagel and lox. Now, it took me a long time to figure out the difference between lox and smoked salmon.
I see.
The process is a little different, apparently. Salmon is cured in a salt brine for several months to make lox. The technique was perfected in Scandinavia. I don't know how it got associated with Jewish culture, but it certainly does.
Right.
Using the fatty belly of the salmon results in a buttery, silky texture that pairs well with cream cheese and bagels, doesn't it? Ever? And over the years, many flavors and varieties of bagels have sprung up across the U.S. and beyond. We always love cream cheese. What's your favorite bagel cream cheese
combination?
Yeah.
I like a plain bagel or a poppy seed bagel with a lot of schmear on it, Amanda.
Mm.
Yeah. And sometimes I like lox, but I can do without it.
Well, our good friends at Tim Hortons years ago developed something called urban garlic cream cheese, and I've been loving it ever since.
Fair enough. So that's what's your favorite bagel?
I love like a cheesy, spicy one. So like a jalapeno cheddar is my jam.
Well, if you were born today on February 9th, as an Aquarian, your personality is defined by your charming, romantic, and impulsive nature, Amanda. Mm. People seem to gravitate towards your personality as you are mysterious and warm. Your many admirers are perfect for a romantic, for your romantic nature, as you are greatly enjoy being in love and receiving affection.
Well, a graduate of Cambridge University and classically trained at RADA, the classically handsome Tom Hiddleston is best known for his performance as Thor's mischievous brother Loki in the Marvel character universe, but has also shown his talent in the films Midnight in Paris, The Deep Blue Sea, Crimson Peak, Only Lovers Left Alive, and Kong Skull Island. He won a Golden Globe for the miniseries The Night Manager and was in the miniseries The Hollow Crown, Wallander, and Cranford. While on stage, he played Coriolanus at the National Theatre, and he was born today on this day in 1981 in London, England.
He wasn't a Night Mother, was he?
Seeing as there's no men.
Oh, okay.
It's an older woman and a younger woman.
I see.
So,
all right.
I don't think there's like a postman that shows up halfway through.
Fair enough. Well, Michael B. Jordan is another rising star who first got noticed as Wallace on The Wire, later charmed us on the series Parenthood and Friday Night Lights, entering movie stardom with his roles in Creed, which I still have to see, Fantastic Four, and the 2018 mega hit Black Panther. In 2019, he starred in Just Mercy and recently guest starred on an episode of Raising Dion. He was nominated for an Emmy for producing a remake of Fahrenheit 451 in 2018. I don't know if you say Fahrenheit 451. But anyways, he also starred in that as well. He was born on this day in Santa Ana, California in 1987.
Well, he was born on this day in Newark, New Jersey in 1943. In the 50s, he was a child star. In the 60s, he was a singer named Joe Ritchie. But for film lovers, Joe Pesci was born in 1980 when Martin Scorsese cast him as Joey in Raging Bull, for which he was nominated for an Oscar. He has been selective about his roles since, but he's appeared in a number of key films in the 80s, including Eureka, Lethal Weapon 2, and Betsy's Wedding. And then in 1990, he had his best year, actually, playing a thief trying to break into the house in Home Alone. It's so funny because I guess if you watch, there's a great series about the making of movies on Netflix, and Home Alone is one of the ones they do, and it's just an amazing story. Every movie is an amazing journey to get made, and we don't get to hear about that side of it. But with Home Alone, they wanted a Joe Pesci type. And they were like, wouldn't it just be great if we got Joe Pesci? And they were like, let's just call him. Let's just see, thinking it was a lark and that there was no way they were actually going to get Joe Pesci to be in Home Alone. And by golly, he did it. And of course, prior to that, he was known for his signature role as the hot-headed Tommy DeVito in Goodfellas, for which he won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. He followed that with the hit comedy My Cousin Vinny, the less successful Jimmy Hollywood, the drama With Honors, Who Could Forget It, being projected behind Madonna's singing face.
Yeah, that's right, because she sang the theme song.
And I'll remember.
Right.
He like went back to school, and it was him and that Moira girl who was in the skating movie. who didn't seem to have a career after that. Anyway, the less successful, he also was reunited with Scorsese on Casino in 1995. From 1998 to 2019, he only made four movies. I mean, only.
Right.
There are many actors who would kill to make four movies. But anyway, but he had a major resurgence last year with his masterful performance. God, he was good in as Russell Bufalino in Scorsese's The Irishman, and it earned him his third Oscar nomination, and in my opinion, he should have won it.
He was amazing in
Wait,
that.
Who won it if he didn't win it?
Only Bill would know.
I mean, it was last year. We don't even remember last year. We actually watched the movies.
What's going to happen this year at the Oscars?
I don't know. Oh, okay. Apparently, they're going to be prolonged, because otherwise they'd be announced.
Right.
You know, I'm going through our taxes and looking at all the movies we watched this week.
Right.
Last year. Right. It's kind of crazy because we saw all the nominees. Anyway, he was born, as I said, on this day in Newark, New Jersey in 1943. Well, now I need to know who
Okay,
won.
Well, you look it up. While you're looking it up, I'm going to learn how to say this name. Kieran Hines. That's how I'm going to say it. Studied at Rabbi.
Kieran Hines, yeah.
Kieran.
Like Kieran.
Kieran. Kieran Hines studied at RADA and has been acting since the 70s, beginning with the Glasgow Citizens Theater.
You love him. You know who he is, right?
No.
You love him.
Okay.
We'll talk about
it. Okay, well, maybe I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. As a pantomime horse in a production of Cinderella.
Yes.
But North Americans.
That's how you love him.
Of course. I love people who play horses. Like that movie War, that play War?
Okay, War Horse.
War Horse, that's it. But North Americans have been aware of him since his performance in the critically acclaimed 1995 adaptation of Jane Austen's Persuasion, which led to his appearing in the films Oscar and Lucinda, The Weight of Water, still don't know him, Mary Riley, Veronica Guerin, and The Sum of All Fears, still don't know him. He played Furman in The Phantom of the Opera. That doesn't help me.
Doesn't help you?
Nope.
He was Furman, babe. Furman.
Nope. I don't know. He was also an FBI agent in Miami Vice and played Mance Radar on Game of Thrones. Wait a second. Mance Radar.
The credit you know him from is actually not even listed. But.
Last year, he was a voice on Frozen 2, doesn't help, and appeared in Damien Chazelle's First Man.
You remember that, First Man.
No, I don't. I remember the sequel, First Man 2. He was born on this day in Belfast, Northern Ireland, in 1953. Who is he? I'm going to tell you
a couple things. Okay. First off, I saw him live. He actually played Irish, though he is. He played Big Daddy in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
So he was in Rome. He played Caesar. Yes,
he
of course.
He was Caesar in Rome.
Why isn't that listed here?
I don't know. I don't know why Furman in Phantom is in here and an FBI agent in Miami Vice is in here, but his the lead in Rome, pretty much. He was so good in Rome. We need to watch Rome again.
Rome is so great.
Yeah, it's so great. I don't know if it will hold up because we've watched so much great TV. It was one of the first great shows we watched.
Yeah.
I think it will, though.
10 years ago.
Oh, so good. Yeah. Anyway, Amber Valletta got her start in modeling after her mother enrolled her in modeling school at the age of 15. During the 1990s, Valletta reached the status of supermodel, signing multi-million dollar cosmetic contracts with Calvin Klein and Elizabeth Arden. Calvin Klein has cosmetics. From 1995 to 1996, we're just poking holes in Bill's copy. He works so hard to make this copy. I mean, he really does work about 30,000 times harder on this show than I do. And here I am going, Calvin Klein has cosmetic contracts. From 1995 to 1996, she hosted MTV's House of Style with her friend and colleague Shalom Harlow. Amber moved into acting in 2000 with her performance as the other woman in the Robert Zemeckis film What Lies Beneath. Which she followed with Perfume, Duplex, Raising Helen, and the romantic comedy Hitch. She later appeared on an episode of Hot in Cleveland and the shows Revenge and Blood and Oil. She was also featured in Keith Urban's Blue Ain't Your Color video. She's actively involved in the St. Jude Research Hospital, that's lovely, and Nina Hyde Foundation, which supports women with breast cancer. And she's produced a fashion show in her hometown of Tulsa, which raised money for the community food bank. Now, she grew up in Tulsa, but she was actually born on this day in Phoenix, Arizona, in 1974.
Now, Amanda, next to Glenn Close, this next celebrant is possibly Daniel Kroelk's favorite actor of all time. Judith Light made her professional stage debut in 1970 and her Broadway debut in a revival of A Doll's House with Liv Ullman before breaking through on television on the soap opera One Life to Live. She appeared on various TV movies and was a guest on television episodes until hitting stardom with the hit sitcom Who's the Boss, which ran from 1984 to 1992. Wow, it ran that long?
Yeah, it ran a long time.
Oh,
wow.
My goodness. And she played Angela, right? Angela?
Yep.
More than a decade later, she made a comeback on Ugly Betty, was a regular on Law & Order Special Victims Unit and the Dallas reboot before winning acclaim for her role as Shelley Pfefferman on the hit Amazon Prime series Transparent. Hang on a second. She did a lot of Broadway, too, that made her, like, really
loved. We only have so much time.
Fair enough. She was nominated for 2 Emmys and a Golden Globe for Transparent. This past year, she was on Ryan Murphy's The Politician. She was born on this day in Trenton, New Jersey in 1949.
Margarita Lavevia.
Amazing. Lavevia, yeah.
Lavevia?
That's how I would say
it. Is it Italian?
Well, we'll find
Portuguese?
Out.
Portuguese? What is that? Margarita Lavevia is best known for her role on the HBO series The Deuce. Well, if that's how she's best known, you're probably not going to know her because that show was on for a hot second. Anyway, she moved to the United States as a child. She studied economics at NYU. She worked as a fashion buyer, studying at the William Esper Studio before making her film debut in the series Vanished. Later appearances were in the films Adventureland, The Lincoln Lawyer, Diary of a Teenage Girl, and the series Revenge. She was born on this day in Leningrad, USSR, which is now St. Petersburg, Russia, in 1980.
I've been to St. Petersburg.
I don't know who this person is.
Well, Zhang Ziyi made her debut in The Road Home in 1999, but that film wasn't released in North America until she had a huge success starring in the highest critically acclaimed film of 2000. That's Ang Lee's Oscar-winning Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Such a great film. It landed, and I honestly watched it and loved it. It landed her a role in the sequel to the action film Rush Hour, as well as appearing in the films Hero, Purple Butterfly, House of Flying Daggers, and 2046. Then in 2006, drew controversy for starring in the film adaptation of the best-selling novel Memoirs of a Geisha, for which she was nominated for a Golden Globe Award. She was later in the Chinese adaptation of Dangerous Liaisons, and this year will be seen in the latest sequel to Godzilla.
Oh my she gosh. Was born. Do we need another Godzilla?
Listen, we need them, man. We need them, especially in these days. She was born on this day in Beijing in 1979.
I mean, everybody's home. I don't know if we need another Godzilla. Anyway, Julie Warner appeared on 2 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation before enjoying ingenue status in films in the early 90s, such as Doc Hollywood, Mr. Saturday Night, Indian Summer, and Tommy Boy. She later starred in the unsuccessful comedy Wedding Bell Blues. Who was in that? Wedding Bell Blues.
No idea.
I think Martin Scorsese's girlfriend, what was her name?
Eliana Douglas?
Yeah, I think she was in that. Appeared on the series Family Law and as a recurring guest on Nip Tuck. More recently, she was on an episode of Code Black and the film The Beautiful Ones. She was born on this day in New York City in 1965.
Charlie Day is an actor and writer best known for the show that he has been writing and starring on for 18 seasons. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which he pitched based on a home video he shot with his friends after years of pursuing acting gigs while waiting on tables, Amanda. The show's success led to his also appearing in Horrible Bosses and the 2015 National Lampoon's Vacation reboot. He played a voice in Monsters University and appeared in the films Pacific Rim, I Love You Daddy, and Hotel Artemis. He was born on this day in New York City, New York in 1976.
The daughter of Oscar-nominated director John Farrow and movie star Maureen O'Sullivan, Mia Farrow, made her film debut in her father's film, John Paul Jones, but didn't really commit herself to acting until appearing on the Peyton Place television series when she was 18. 3 years later, she married singer Frank Sinatra, who was 30 years older than her, but he served her divorce papers when she refused to turn down the lead role in Rosemary's Baby at his request. What a douche. The film was one of the biggest hits of the late 60s and made Mia a star, leading to her roles in The Great Gatsby, Death on the Nile, Hurricane, A Wedding, and Avalanche. After her divorce, she moved in with her friend, Dori Previn, to nurse her during her illness, then became pregnant by Dori's husband.
Oh, snap.
Yep. Composer Andre Previn, they're well known, who left his wife and married Mia. And they went on an adoption bender. In the early 80s, she met and became the girlfriend of director Woody Allen and spent the 80s giving acclaimed performances in his films, including Zelig, Broadway Danny Rose, The Purple Rose of Cairo, and Hannah and Her Sisters. Of course, we all know their relationship ended infamously with her leaving, with his leaving her for her daughter with Andre Previn, that they adopted, Su Yin Previn. Followed by a custody battle in which Farrow accused Allen of molesting their daughter, Dylan. Allen was cleared of all charges, but Farrow remains that they are true, while her son, a licensed marriage and family therapist, Moses Farrow, has stated that Farrow was abusive to her non-biological children, instructing them all to lie.
Wow.
Yeah. It was recently pointed out that the story Dylan Farrow tells about what she remembers matches the lyrics of the song that Dori Previn wrote about Mia after she stole her husband. It's really complicated, really sad, and I think nobody wins
right.
in that.
Sure.
But honestly, I think Woody Allen has done enough, and he's certainly done some very misogynistic movies, and I know Bill will not like me saying that, but
fair
certainly
enough.
he's definitely hurt women in other ways. Whether or not he raped his daughter, I have no idea. Mia hasn't appeared in a film since Todd Solondz's Dark Horse in 2011, committing herself to her various charities and human rights organizations, and of course her 13 children. 13. Wow. She was born on this day in Los Angeles, California in 1945. I know Ronan Farrow sides with her,
right,
and with Dylan. And, of course, a lot of people think that her and Frank got back together, and that's Ronan, was the result of that. Honestly, who knows?
Honestly, who cares? Anyways, viewers, we're done with Mia, right?
Yes, okay. Forever.
Forever.
But you know what's funny?
Sure.
She shares a strand of DNA, because I love that show, You Were Asleep,
yes,
last night, Finding Your Roots. It's one of my favorite shows.
It really is.
And at the end, what they've started doing in the later seasons, they show who you share DNA with.
Okay.
So they're like, okay, you have similar, you both inherited this DNA, and she shares DNA with Jane Lynch.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so
that's great.
Through some, which makes sense with Maureen O'Sullivan.
Sure.
So there's some Irish, because Jane Lynch is second generation Irish. So her
right,
grandparents moved to the States. So they are related. They're distantly related.
I love Jane Lynch.
I love Ireland.
And I want to go. Anyways, viewers likely know Charles Shaughnessy. Shaughnessy, that's how you say
Speaking
it.
Speaking of Ireland, that's how you say it. Shaughnessy.
Listen, if it was an Italian name, I would not get it wrong.
No,
I'm
that's
sorry.
True. That's very true.
Anyways, he's best known for his role as Maxwell Sheffield on the hit comedy sitcom The Nanny, which he appeared on for the majority of the 90s after having appeared on Jury, Murphy Brown, and Burke's Law. Do you remember Burke's Law?
No.
He was a graduate of Cambridge who participated in the Footlights while studying law.
Ooh, the Footlights.
Yeah.
You know who else was in the Footlights?
All
the Pythons and Douglas Adams.
That's right. Eventually acting in a repertoire company and moving to the United States. After The Nanny's conclusion, he made appearances on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Touched by an Angel, and on Fran Drescher's short-lived follow-up to The Nanny, Living with Fran. More recently, he was on Days of Our Lives, The Magicians, and the films Christmas with a Prince and Buttons. I don't know what that is, but it sounds amazing. He was born on this day in London, England in 1955.
Everybody in New Brunswick that I used to know, Touched by an Angel was a pretty big show, and a lot of people didn't have any cable, and that was one of the only shows they got. But everybody called it Touched by an Uncle.
Oh, no.
And that's why I always think that's the actual name of it. So I almost was like, no, Touched by an Uncle.
Right. I'm not a big fan of Roma, what's
Downey?
Her name? Yeah.
I mean, because of her husband, Trump had an inauguration.
Right,
that's the only way he got that little girl to sing
right,
at his inauguration, because Mark Burnett produced it at the 11th hour. Well, anyway, enough about all that stuff. Let's talk about Peggy Wood.
Sure.
Today we know her best for her performance as the Reverend Mother in The Sound of Music, the role for which she received an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress. At that point, she was already in the later stages of her career, of course, having begun taking singing lessons at the age of 8, making her debut as a teen teenager in the chorus of the operetta Naughty Marietta in 1910. My God, 1910. She was soon a leading lady on Broadway thanks to her powerful soprano voice, starring in The Three Romeos, Maytime, and The Clinging Vine in the 20s, focusing her career on stage, though still making occasional appearances on film, including the 1937 version of A Star Is Born. I feel like everybody was in that. Everybody was in one of the versions.
Yeah, it's true.
Earning two Emmy nominations for the 50s television series Mama and appearing in the films Magnificent Doll and The Story of Ruth. Her last appearance, an episode of the show's Turtles Progress, aired in 1979, which was a year after her death at the age of 86. She was born on this day in Brooklyn in 1892. My goodness.
I know. Well, another soprano who became famous in the movies, Catherine Grayson, was singing on the radio when she was discovered by MGM talent scouts, who quickly brought her in for a screen test, and she was soon signed on to a contract. She made her debut opposite Mickey Rooney in Private Secretary before starring in Thousands Cheer and Anchors Away with Gene Kelly. You know that film, Amanda?
Nope.
She followed it by Two Sisters from Boston, It Happened in Brooklyn, and Toast of New Orleans with Mario Lanza. She retired from films after The Vagabond King in 1956, appearing in nightclubs and making a handful of appearances on television before retiring for good at the age of after three episodes of Murder, She Wrote in the late 80s. She died in 2010 at the age of 88. She was born Zelma Hendrick on this day in Winston-Salem, North Carolina in 1922.
We're going back in the vaults for February 9th today because Ronald Colman served in the First World War and survived, getting involved in British theater before coming to New York, seeking fame on Broadway, then moving to Hollywood and getting into the movies. His good looks soon made him a matinee idol in the 20s and 30s, starring in The Dark Angel, Lady Windermere's Fan, and Aerosmith. I didn't realize that was anything other than a band. Appearing as the popular cop in the Bulldog Drummond films and later starring in the 1935 adaptation of A Tale of Two Cities. His fame continued into the 40s, appearing in the romantic war drama Random Harvest and winning an Oscar for Double Life in 1947, after which he slowed his efforts down. His last appearance was in The Story of Mankind in 1957, a year before his death at the age of 67. He was born on this day in Richmond, England in 1891.
Wow. Amanda, Jim J. Bullock is best known for playing neighbor Monroe Ficus on seven seasons of the sitcom Too Close for Comfort. Do you remember that?
A little.
There was something about him that everybody loved. Like, you just loved him on this television.
He was television. Like the Mr. Furley kind of?
Kind of, yeah. After which he appeared in the films Spaceballs and Switch on five episodes of ALF and played the voice of the lead character of the Queer Duck animated series. On Broadway, he appeared in the musical Hairspray and off-Broadway starred in the play The End of the World Party. He lost his partner John Casey to AIDS in 1996 and is himself a longtime survivor of the HIV virus. He was born on this day in Casper, Wyoming in 1955.
Oh, so sad to lose your partner to AIDS and then to live hopefully a pretty great life, you know, with the same virus. It's just a matter of bad timing for who got it first, you know?
I think he also had a show, a television show with Tammy Faye Baker. They had a...
Oh, really?
I think they did. Did he not? Tammy Faye Baker. I'll look that up.
Look that up because we have to do a deeper dive here on Miss Carole King. She was initially one of the staff songwriters at the Brill Building before breaking out on her own as a solo artist. She is the most successful female songwriter of the latter half of the 20th century in the U.S., having written or co-written 118 pop hits on the Billboard Hot 100. After experiencing commercial disappointment with her debut album, Writer, King scored her breakthrough with the album Tapestry, which topped the U.S. album chart for 15 weeks in 1971 and remained on those charts for more than 6 years. 6 years. She has recorded, I mean, that's crazy.
Like,
6 years it was on the charts. She has recorded 25 solo albums. Her sales are an estimated 75 million copies worldwide. She has 4 Grammy Awards and was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for her songwriting. Among her best known work are the songs You've Got a Friend, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, Will You Love Me Tomorrow, and Beautiful. That's just a few. As an actress, she's made appearances on The Gilmore Girls and the films Murphy's Romance. She was born on this day in Brooklyn in 1942, and of course she's the subject of the musical Beautiful.
Yeah.
Which I have yet to see, but it tells everybody about her life quite a bit. What's that song from Dirty Dancing? That was one of hers too.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah.
Anyway. Back to
Jim J. Bullock. This just in. He briefly hosted a syndicated talk show with ex-televangelist Tammy Faye Mesner. I thought it was Tammy Faye Baker,
yeah,
but
she
I
got
guess
married
she
again.
Divorced, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Jim J. and Tammy Faye show debuted in 1996, but Mesner exited the program a few months later following a cancer diagnosis. Bullock continued with a new co-host, Ann Abernathy. Do you know who that is?
Nope.
Okay. And the show became the Jim J. and Ann show until it was canceled.
Oh,
I guess
wow.
It was Ann Abernathy who got it canceled.
Wow,
I don't know who she
that is crazy.
Yeah, I remember.
So
it was
wasn't religious? It was
no,
just
at that point
show,
she
or?
Wasn't an evangelist anymore. She
wow.
sort of had her come to Jesus moment and thought, you know, maybe there's
and
nothing
Jesus
wrong with gay
like,
people.
Yeah. Jesus is like, you know, it didn't. We didn't help you out so much.
Yeah.
I've made some other communities. Maybe join those. That's great. Well, Janet Suzman, or Suzman, grew up in South Africa and left to pursue acting in England, making her professional debut in Billy Liar in 1962 before joining the Royal Shakespeare Company. She married director Trevor Nunn, who was like the head of the Royal Shakespeare Company, wasn't he? And together they have made a very successful career in British theater. Trevor Nunn, I believe, he was one of the co-creators of Les Miserables, I believe. We'll find out. Well, she still managed more than a few notable appearances on film, including playing Empress Alexandra in the 1971 drama Nicholas and Alexandra, for which she was nominated for Best Actress Oscar. She also appeared in the films A Day in the Death of Joe Egg, Voyage of the Damned, Nijinsky, Peter Greenaway's avant-garde period piece, The Draftsman Contract, and Fellini's and The Ship Sails On. More recently, she appeared in an episode of The Crown. Ooh, who's she in The Crown? That's what we want to know. She was born on this day in Johannesburg in 1939. She is not the other Ann Abernathy, who is a luge athlete from the Virgin Islands.
The United States Virgin Islands. That's who co-hosted the show with Jim J. Bullock after Tammy Faye.
Oh.
And Abernathy.
I was like, Janet's, Marco just pasted this. And I was like, okay, Janet Suzman. Was also had a side career as a luge artist.
No, but Ann Abernathy, who probably got the show canceled.
How is she a luge athlete from the Virgin Islands?
Well, she
isn't luge a winter sport?
Yeah, it is. And she competed in like a million Olympics because she was the oldest female athlete to compete in the Winter Olympics in luge, Amanda.
Okay.
Well, okay, I'm going to go to Chloe Grace Moretz.
Moretz. And she's very famous.
Is she?
Yeah.
Do I know her?
Yeah.
Well, she made her first appearance on television when she was 7 years old and had amassed an impressive resume by the time she was 13 and had her breakout performance as Mindy McCready in the action film Kick-Ass. Other notable roles include 500 Days of Summer, Dirty Sexy Money, Martin Scorsese's Hugo, and the remake of Carrie. Also, Laggies and Dark Shadows.
You don't remember Laggies?
No, I remember Loogies, but not Laggies. She was also in The Miseducation of Cameron Post, and she co-starred with Isabelle Huppert in Greta. She was born on this day in Atlanta. I knew a woman named she
pronounced
wanted to call
it Greta?
Yeah, she wanted us to call her Greta.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, Greta. She was born on this day in Atlanta, Georgia in 1997.
There's Laggies, Loogies, and then Lugies, which Ann Abernathy was in. All right,
oh,
we're canceled.
Okay.
We're officially canceled. All get right. us out of here. Go have a bagel, put some locks on it, and call it a day.
Enjoy February 9th.